Should we just like say, "Hey, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 950," and just do it that way?
Yeah, do you actually want to do the introduction instead of me?
Well, didn't I just do it?
Hey,
welcome everyone, Stunt Granny Audio number 950. A nice low key, mellow, smooth jazz version, even though there's no music, cuz you know. Yeah. Oh, kind of like that. What was that bullshit I sent you? That guy snorting?
Oh my gosh, that was completely ridiculous.
That was a legit question. Like, what is this? Like, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to some really heavy stuff still these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not heard anything in that, you know, genre. Yeah. If it is, in fact, a genre.
Yeah. It reminded me of that guy that was doing like the swish sounds with his voice, like shh, like that. And it was like everyone's dogging on him, and then all of a sudden he started picking up. Like, no. Let's not make like these really embarrassing people. Like let's not mar- like not martyrs, but like let's not pump these people up. Oh, did you check out the one I sent you? I don't even know if that went through. That Rickshaw Billy's Burger Patrol.
I finally did tonight. Like you sent it to me, and it was not a convenient time to listen to it. You sent it to me.
Oh gosh, I forgot what you were doing. That's right.
So it was just
that was a hell of a first communion.
I'm at a family party. I'm like, it really just wasn't the time to pull that out, and like I just forgot about it until tonight. I'm like, oh shit, like I went to text you and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot about this.
Yeah, it's so all their albums are a little bit different, but it's all just heavy riffs. So I read like an interview with a blurb or something. Basically all their songs are only the coolest, like the heaviest, coolest parts of song breakdowns. So, like, you know, they reference, like, Pantera. Like, was it Domination? And it just gets into, like, the little chugging part. That's all they want their song to be, is that part. Or, like, they mention Primus, which you can really hear, especially his voice. And...
Uh-oh.
But it's like Jerry's a race car driver. It gets to, like, the break point. All their songs are basically 2 minutes. And it's just heavy as hell. And, like, their new one, I mean, it's pretty crazy. Like, it's not the most intricate stuff, and it's not supposed to be. And it fucking works. I've been cramming that stuff. Especially the new one, too.
Yeah, I enjoyed, because it took me to, I can't remember the name of the song in particular, but it took me to the one song, and I just was chuckling.
Well,
the whole time, and it was, you know, it was a good song. Like I'm like, oh, I need to take a longer listen to this.
It reminds me of stuff that like when you go to like a show, you're not really familiar with who it is, but like you're at the bar trying to get a beer, and you're like nodding your head like, hey, this ain't that bad, and then you want to go and see the rest, which is a compliment. So,
yeah,
it's like I know Spotify gets a bad rap, and it should, for not paying the artists, but I've discovered more stuff on there than I have, I think, ever. So that this is a Spotify discovery, and it's funny because, I mean, Rickshaw Billy's Burger Patrol. I thought it was a joke. They've been around for a while, so. Oh. Yeah, but...
Yeah, I didn't really check out... I definitely did not take time for looking down their discography.
Yeah, I think since 2015? That's 9 years. Especially nowadays, that's a long time.
That's not too bad.
So, but it's like the AI, the bot, still doesn't understand what I really want to listen to. And the worst thing ever is putting something in there and then they start giving you. Oh, now you like. Have you ever heard of Kenny Chesney, the country guy?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I
So
I wasn't sure if that was a rhetorical question or a
okay.
serious
All right.
question.
So we've both heard of him, right?
Yes,
Can you
quite.
name me a song?
No, I cannot.
Exactly. This guy just played Bank of America Stadium, a sold out Bank of America Stadium. I couldn't tell you one song by this guy. So I was legitimately asking people, what does he sing? And he said, well, the one you might know. I was like, can I please stop you right there? I don't know anything by this man, okay? I'm not one of those people. I like the Bee Gees. So I'm not going to be one of these people that's going to be like, no, I'm too cool for that. I just don't know. So one of the songs was, I Think Your Wife Finds My Tractor Sexy or something. And I just went, fuck off. Like,
Well, that's one where I know that there are times with like rap songs where I'm like, "Nah, I didn't know that." And someone's like, "Hey, it's in this commercial." I'm like, "Oh yeah, shit, I'm familiar with that."
okay, someone said commercial, maybe.
Yeah,
Maybe.
if one of his songs is in a commercial and I just don't know it, then I probably know a Kenny Chesney song. But outside of that,
Yes.
I am devoid of and because I mean the wife listens to some country, but she doesn't really listen to that type of country, so
I wouldn't even know what kind it is. I mean, it just I was getting bent out of shape this weekend because they kept saying, "Well, if you listen to the radio," I don't listen to the radio. I can't tell you the last time I listened to the radio. And if it is, to be completely honest, it's like 102.7, The Lake, or The Ride, or The River, or Fred, or Jim, whatever those, those like just automated ones. There's not even DJs anymore.
Oh.
And that's just to give her a break from listening to my stuff. I'll make that compromise. But I don't listen to the radio. Please stop telling me that. Anyone who says that, I'm like, you just don't know me. Like, how are we friends if you don't know something basic like that? Don't bother me on wrestling days, and I don't listen to the fucking radio.
Yeah, I don't really know anyone that really listens to the radio these days,
No.
to be honest with you.
Why would you? I don't know. I can't imagine listening to the radio as a young person's thing. Like, I don't know who radio is made for outside of people our age and older. I really don't
That's
know.
about it, I would think.
Oh, did you see, speaking of radio, did you see that there's an Opie and Anthony clips page on Instagram?
Oh, no.
Dude, whoever is selecting these is a fan. Because there's Andrew Dice Gay was on there. Jesus Dice was on there as well. Patrice and Jimmy talking about Face Off. Like, there's a ton of stuff on this thing, and it's really good. I missed that show when it was really funny like that. So, not so much the end when Opie wasn't paying attention and Ant was just going off on tangents. Yeah.
That's a rough last couple of years.
Some gold in there, just not enough. So,
New,
no. But
not enough.
I guess we need to talk about wrestling because the scintillating, always captivating, imagination capturing 2024 WWE draft.
I've got to admit, outside of the third and fourth rounds, well, actually, I haven't looked at the whole thing en masse, and I wanted to do that before recording. Just to see who moved around. Like, I feel like when I'm watching the show, I never really know. I felt like it was like for like there on SmackDown for a little bit. And then round three, things started to get wild, where there were crazy numbers. And Oh my God, who is? I almost need to pull up the picks for that, like the round by round picks. I don't know if they have those on Wikipedia yet or not.
Oh no, I don't know. Well, in our group chat, I did not know there was a pool of people. I go, this draft makes no damn sense. Cleaning it up for the kids. And Chris is like, well, there's a pool of wrestlers. Like, oh. Well, still.
Oh, yeah, they didn't really do a very good job of establishing that until, like, a little too late, honestly. Wow, Wiki doesn't have it yet. What's someone doing? I actually have to go to the WWE's page? Like, how? What the heck?
If they even have it. But it's like, I guess I just don't... Like you said, like we were texting earlier, you said the product still has a lot of VKM in it, and This is one of them. Like, this shit needs to go. Or they need to totally reimagine this stuff.
Yeah, like, they did some elements of what I'd like with having the war rooms and stuff like that. But there was still, it's hard to invest in the brand still.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's my problem with the war rooms. It doesn't make any sense. Unless they explain it. Because each side has two picks, right? Per card?
Correct.
Well, how the hell do you know what the other side picked? You know what I mean? Like, they need to explain it better where they show Raw putting something in, SmackDown sees whose it is. Oh, okay. We put ours in. Raw see who's, like, give us something. It doesn't make any sense that these two people walk up there, or one, depending, and goes, all right, so Raw picked, SmackDown picks, Raw picks, SmackDown. Like, wait, well, how the hell did they know who was taken already? It's like there's so many fundamental flaws with this thing.
Yeah.
And, like, Cole tried explaining that sometimes you have to pick the people on your brand to protect your roster. And I wish they would make that more apparent. But then, like, my pipe dream is, like, they actually have a draft. Not on Raw or SmackDown. Do it on the website. Or make a Peacock special. A live Peacock special, like we have the NFL draft. If anyone listened to last week, you know we were watching that. And just be like, everyone's in. And you don't get to take groups. Tag teams, yes. And by tag teams, I mean two people. You get the whole Judgment Day. Nope. All four of them are separate. And, like, get a true change. You know what I mean? Like, it's a nice way to soft reset stuff if they want.
Well, yeah, that's why I wanted to kind of look at it as more of a, like, a whole, like, who they move where, like, because obviously I saw that they moved Damage Control moves from SmackDown to Raw, you know, something like that. You know, like, I know the individual moves, but, like, I feel like, because that was one of those things that I'm just like, man, the women's division over on SmackDown seems really strong.
Yeah. And it also seems like they're going to have the tag team champions for the women, too.
One would imagine that those belts are not staying on Asuka and Kairi for very long here.
Which is weird, though. Like, I don't know.
Damage Control has nothing to hang their hat on if they lose those.
I mean, I guess Io, they teased Io and Becky. They teased Liv and Becky. But it's like, all right. And then, did you catch the whole Dominic and Liv thing in the background? Like, I didn't, but I saw it on X.
That was one where I watched the end of SmackDown and then jumped into Raw and eventually caught up to it. And I, right before, I'm like, huh, like they started, I saw it pop up on X and I'm just like, huh. I was like, did I just miss that? And then like the next segment is the one with Jey Uso and I'm like, oh, I couldn't have missed this. Like, that was, to me, that was a Vince McMahon directing moment. Like, if we're talking about VKM influences still there, it was so, they're just like, they purposefully panned and kind of zoomed in between Kathy Kelly and Jey Uso when Luke Morgan comes out. And then they zoom out and show more of Jey Uso's face. And then they wait just long enough and they zoom back out in the shot. And they kind of zoom back into the middle a little bit again. And you see Dominic Mysterio coming out. I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, it was definitely there, you know. Like, they didn't really try to hide it.
All right, see, I missed it. And I thought, like, the zoom was just for, like, the video clip, you know? Like, so, oh, check this out. They zoom in on themselves. If right. that's the case, that's a rare misstep. Because they've done subtle stuff like that before and not giving it away by just zooming it in. So that's, and especially, and I know we got away from the draft real fast, but Raw had one of the cooler, like, camera moments. And in a week-to-week cool camera moment, like, situation, I loved Drew McIntyre. Well, first, hilariously, goes to the locked suite door and goes, well, this can't be CM Punk, and it walks to the open door one. Like, wouldn't the locked one possibly make you go, what if he's in here? Anyways, he walks in, Punk's not there. As he's looking out in the crowd, the camera's looking out in the crowd, too, his Punk's music hits, and you saw everyone stand up going crazy. And then they slowly pan back over to Drew and then back out, and I'm like, that is awesome. Like, you don't get those shots naturally like that. It's always the music goes off, everyone's going crazy, and then they go, oh, hey, here's a guy with a dumb sign. Here's some kid with their belt. Like, I don't know them. I can't remember the man's name offhand who they hired. You make sure he stays and give him that like creative license, man. I mean, he's doing something right.
They're making wrestling a lot more visually entertaining.
Yeah. Like, oh, almost like it's 2024, you know? That now.
Yeah, and you've had a movie company under your belt and this, that, and the other thing under your belt.
Well, let's slow down. We saw the quality of these movies, so.
Hey, man, even the first level of XFL had more innovative camera work than the WWE
Isn't that crazy? It's like everyone forgets. That whole camera behind the quarterback, was it Skycam, whatever they're calling it now.
Skycam, yeah.
That was all from the XFL, all of it. And, like, people routinely goof on the XFL for failing. Well, look at the influence it had, for real. Didn't the NFL also adopt, like, the last XFL's kickoff rule this year?
Yes. Or...
So, you know, it's... But it's also, like, that creative time, like, the original XFL, when Vince actually gave a shit and didn't just use WWE as, like, a tool to work out whatever goofy stuff he's got going on. But, yeah, it's... Right. I just thought that was cool. But to get back to the draft, sorry... It's just a tired concept that doesn't really do anything. And then it even breaks kayfabe, if you want, with the NXT stuff. Like, I guess they legitimately didn't know. They weren't told who was getting called up. So that reaction of like Lyle Valcara, Blair Davenport, those were real reactions.
Yes, that again, to talk about the Vince McMahon influences still sitting around. Little subtopic of the whole show here. Because yeah, like you could really tell, because who I'm trying to think of who the first one on SmackDown was that got picked.
Was it Valkyrie? Oh, Carmelo.
Oh yeah,
Carmelo was
Carmelo
first.
Hayes.
Which, and what's funny is if none of these people knew, except for maybe Dijak.
Was he no, was Hayes on was he wasn't in the performance center though. Like
No. Because he fought
he had
Cody.
yeah, he ended up fighting Cody. Yeah. So no, it wasn't Carmelo then, because I'm like I could have just pulled up the report to look for that other where I thought things got wonky.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm unprepared, did not have it pulled up. So
No, and oh, Kiana James.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's the first like, wait, what? Like everyone's happy for her?
Yeah, well, even with her, it was funny. Well, and maybe the funniest, honestly. Just because she was so happy, but then she tried to bring that bitchy character like right back into the promo. I'm like, oh my God, I love you for doing
Yeah.
that.
She was the
Like
only one.
she still tried to pull things back out there. I'm like, oh, God bless you for still trying to work the crowd after, you know, again, like she was the first one that you could tell was genuinely. Carmelo Hayes obviously was not surprised, or else, you know, I mean, he had to be there for the show. Like he might have been surprised he's having a match with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. Which I okay, real fast. On SmackDown, what the hell move were the he and Cody going for? Where they both jumped in the air? Like, was that supposed to happen, or did they mess a move up?
That was so awkward because I felt like Carmelo Hayes had committed to whatever springboard move he was going for. And then Cody Rhodes saw him commit to it and then decided to go for the springboard disaster kick anyway. And I'm like, dude, I think like any other option is probably a better option right now. Like still run the ropes. You
Yeah.
know, I like whatever that ended up being was just super awkward.
Yeah. And then it led directly into the finish. Like, was he supposed to do a Cody cutter? And Carmelo just, they just didn't time it right? 'Cause it went right to the finish after that.
Oh yeah, maybe.
So,
Oh, he was supposed to catch Carmelo and
yeah.
whatever he was supposed to be doing. Good Lord! I mean, you're really counting on a lot of things to go right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny 'cause all those like big moves like that, they never work in practice and they always work in the ring. That's like the famous story of all those. I wonder if they practice this and then it just failed the ring. That makes sense. That does make sense, but
I would say that that is probably the case.
yeah. But so the kayfabe portion of the draft, it's funny because like the women were very emotional. Ilya Dragunov was very emotional in his own bizarre czar of NXT sort of way. Dijak was hilarious. He just got up was like, yeah, I know, like, yep, I'm going back to Raw. Hopefully I get to keep my name this time. Which I think,
Hopefully I keep my gimmick this time.
yeah, which he should just give him other big men to fight and be done with it. So
Yes.
it's just what he
Yes.
does. But yeah, but like that's I did like the crowd's reaction to the draft whenever they mention taken from NXT, and the, you all most of the time heard the crowd go, "Oh, like oh, NXT, huh? Whoa."
Yeah, because I mean, I feel like those were mostly the interesting ones. Like, I
Yeah.
guess I understand the functionality of it to kind of reset storylines. It's still, I guess I'm with you where, like, they gave us more rules this year ahead of time, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
But it still seemed like there were other rules in place, like the whole pool thing we talked about earlier, where it just didn't make air, and you're just like, oh, well, this kind of would have been good to know going into this, because 'cause I scrolled past it, but I know I saw, oh my gosh, this was the one that in round three on SmackDown. SmackDown goes with LA Knight, and then Raw picks Ricochet. I'm just like,
They're trying to make Ricochet a thing. They are.
he has done better, and they have done better with Ricochet. He's still,
Awkward.
yeah, he's still a little awkward, and he's not LA Knight.
No.
And that one to me, I'm like, well, this doesn't seem too even here.
Yeah, and like the whole concept, and I know Chris was talking about, like, you gotta make sure no one's feelings get hurt. Well, fuck your feelings, because this doesn't make sense. Like, they're talking, Drew McIntyre went in the fourth round. Now, I understand how this works, but look at this draft. Look at the people who got taken before Drew McIntyre on both sides. Are you telling me? Like, what? Or CM, like, it should be. I mean, it should establish a pecking order. Here are the guys and gals
Oh.
we want. And then, all right, now we have to fill in the remainder of our roster. That doesn't mean that you're subjugated to being at the bottom. It means these are the top. So if you have a draft, say that, say when we had the, if you would have had the draft during the Attitude Era, let's go with that, with all those guys. So number one, Steve Austin. Number two, Lita. Huh? What about The Rock or The Undertaker or Kane or Mick Foley, Triple H, DX if you want. Like, no, we're gonna take Lita. Oh, okay. The next pick by from Raw is Hardcore Holly. Like, what? And then SmackDown picks The Rock. You're like, this makes no sense. And it doesn't really make sense. And I know it's just a fake draft and it's just to
Well,
capitalize, but still, man, it's just
that's why
do it.
I did think that the first two sets of picks to me, I'm like, okay, these are like for like. Because round two, well, let's go back to round one, because I guess that's the first one to oh, Bianca Belair and Jey Uso. I'm like, okay, they seem similar star power there. And then I guess really you could say it's not really like for like, but Carmelo Hayes and Seth Rollins, I'm like, okay, I can accept this is rough equivalents here. I know that Carmelo Hayes does not have the track record of one Seth Rollins.
No.
So you really could call this quite a yeah, not really a like for like. Now that I'm looking at it again a second time, I'm like, nah, maybe it started off a little off.
Yes, and that's exactly what I'm getting at. Like, I get it if you want to make a splash, right? You want to surprise people. And now, all right, and I've actually kind of realized this. I'm taking this thing way too literal. So, it's really my own fault for like, I'm not even annoyed. I just want it to be better. And I guess I thought under Triple H it would be better, and it wasn't. It was actually worse. It was boring as hell. But the idea that like Raw takes, who did you say was first? I'm sorry. Oh, they take Jey Uso first, and then no, or SmackDown went first, didn't they? SmackDown go first.
Yeah, SmackDown went
Okay.
first and he went with
Okay.
Bianca.
So overall, of everyone you can pick, and this is not disparaging Bianca Belair in any aspect, she's the first one? No fucking way. You know?
Well, it seems pretty reasonable to me.
You've got guys on that roster that main evented WrestleMania you could pick.
And she main evented at WrestleMania also, so.
Years ago, that's true. I forgot about that. This is why I talk out loud a lot, because, I mean, you point that out, and it's actually, that's not that bad.
And at least one of the other things that made some sense too, as far as like who was going to go at the top of the draft, because that's why I thought Bianca and Jay weren't too wild. I'm like, they did say off the hop that they were no champions were switching brands, and I'm
Right.
like, good, that's dumb.
Yeah, it always, 'cause you knew the other champion was gonna get drafted. It was stupid. Yeah.
You really telegraphed things by doing that. So yeah, I thought that that was so yeah. Like I thought that there were some minor improvements. So I guess I thought that it was a little bit better, but it still has a ways to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it could still be presented better. Because yeah, like now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, like it really should be a top to bottom, true. At worst, Drew McIntyre should have been picked by the end of SmackDown.
Well, he wasn't in the pool, though.
But yeah, and
So,
that's the other problem is
okay.
not knowing who's in what pool. That's I know that they ended, I believe they ended up showing a graphic for who was going to be available on Monday night at some
Yes.
point during SmackDown. So, I mean, they did supply a visual graphic, but it was. Yeah, that's not terribly easy to remember in the moment, and yeah, still kind of makes for some odd draft choices.
Yeah, I guess, like I said, I'm just taking it too literal in something that's never, like, the draft has never made sense. Outside, was it the first one that they legitimately broke up the entire roster to, like, the feed three, right? Because ECW got people. Right? I don't know. I don't
Well,
remember.
yeah, because I mean, it was really a one. I didn't even think about this until right now, but it was a one-way process for NXT.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up too. Yes.
And now, since you and I are recording on the Tuesday here, I have not watched any of NXT. But I'm not
No.
sure. Hopefully they cover their bases and they say something about draft compensation.
I don't know, man. They said NXT are available, and there's been the rumors that they're going to make NXT like a third brand and all that stuff. So you'd think that NXT, at least every round, would get one pick. Just one.
Oh.
But then that would also drive me crazy because I'd be like, why wouldn't you take Seth Rollins? You know, like, why wouldn't you take Bianca? Which you sold me on the Bianca thing pretty quick, actually. So, as you know, I think out loud. So, but.
Yeah, they've got gold, because I mean, I know that Chris and I have talked about it. Obviously, Jade and Bianca have to fight at some point. But having them be a super team for a while so that someone can be a traitor works way, way better to get to that match.
Yeah. Yep. And I'd rather them drag that out because it was funny, not funny, but it was interesting that during the press conference with Jade, Naomi, and Bianca after WrestleMania, that Bianca reached out to Jade and said, or was it other way, one of the two, and they're like, they're gonna try and pit us against each other, so we can't do that. And that was like a real life thing. So I really hope that carries over. Like, they bring up this fact, like, yeah, people thought we were just gonna butt heads and go after each other, which from the Royal Rumble kind of seemed like that's where it was going anyways. So this like this turn or twist that they're gonna team up, yeah, that's pretty good. Build it for a while and then you can like, God, what
Yeah, that match will be huge. Again, yeah, that match works way better, and you can, yeah, wait until WrestleMania next year to have it.
yeah.
That works for me.
Yeah,
After
I mean,
you make up to like the Royal Rumble or something like that, and then you have one, gigantic match that doesn't have a championship belt involved that everyone's gonna want to see.
yeah, it's like the black superpowers explode, or was it, or was it implode? The super,
Implode.
okay, they imploded. Yes, they were too big to explode, so they have to implode. It's so stupid.
I just feel like that's the wrestling term that they go with when a tag team breaks up. For some reason, they go with implode more than explode. Just rough memory stretch there, as far as I know.
But it's like you don't really implode. Like you're not coming closer together and disappearing. You're. Anyways, it's whatever. It's, again, literal thinking.
Yep.
But yeah. But the draft come and go, and it's like the NXT picks. It's funny that they didn't know they were getting chosen, but it seemed obvious. Like,
Kiana is maybe the most surprising.
well, she was rumored to go up, though.
Although
So.
not completely surprising. I mean, they had kept her away from any type of championship run, and I'm like, I kind of feel like they know what they got going on here, so they're just gonna, let her go up. But yeah, other than that, yeah, Lyra wasn't surprising. Blair Davenport, she was another one where, yeah, she was in that. She's done enough in between UK and regular NXT, that's just like, what does she have to prove here? To and they definitely can use some fresh faces on both programs.
Yeah, like,
Although I do believe, because I'm trying to remember, because I think more of that was because what, Kiana went to Raw, and I need to pull up.
Laya went to Raw as well, and then Blair went to SmackDown.
Oh, Rock. Oh, okay.
So, and then Ilya's going to Raw, and I think Dijak's going to Raw as well. Oh, Baron
Yes.
Corbin went to SmackDown. They considered him NXT. Like, okay. Because they had, I think, I don't know, was it on air or YouTube short? Baron and Braun catching up backstage.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, and I don't know if that explains the character change tonight or last night on Raw. But Baron's like, "Come on, man, we're back together." He's like, "Ah." He's like, "What?" He goes, "I got drafted to Raw." And he's like, "Oh, man." And then they both just like, gave each other like the dap and respect, and that was it. So, but I thought that was odd on Monday Night Raw. Breaker's doing an interview. Sheamus comes up. He's like, "I don't mean to interrupt." He's like, "Well, you did." And he's like kind of a dick. And it's like, "Well, wait, whoa, 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 whoa." Like, It wasn't like the jovial, goofy dick like he was with Baron Corbin. It was like Beans almost like, and even Sheamus was like, "Hey, calm down." Like, so it was like it was kind of like a it was a strange shift, and I don't know if it's needed right now, but I don't know. I guess they're trying to get away from goofy, tough guys. I don't know. 'Cause, I mean, even Gable now, which by the way, that suit, that German suplex on Sammy out of nowhere, that was really awesome.
I am really hoping for the best for Mr. Gable to finally get the crown of the mid top of the mid card. Like, I don't know, is he like, yeah, because he's not really main event if he beats Sami Zayn. Like, it's definitely a big win to have.
Oh yeah, for sure. Hey, Gunther did a lot with that run to make the Intercontinental title seem important, and they've kept it going. I mean, you know, it main evented Raw. I know it was in Montreal, but it main evented Raw. And then this week, I want to say Baron Reed because I'm trying not to say big, but Bronson Reed and him,
Sin Reed.
I VKM still. We get it. Yeah, he's a big dude, we know. He's not
We
very
have
tall, but he's big. Okay. So.
and I that was an announcer thing that I'm just like that I kind of laughed about that. Michael Cole's like, oh, backstage, Bronson Reed told me he's weighing in closer to 350 these days. And I'm like, well, why didn't he tell the ring announcer that so that she's not an idiot for calling him 330?
Yeah, I was like, wait, that's not what they said. I don't even think the graphic said that.
Just throwing it out there. Yeah, Michael Cole has information. I don't remember the graphics, but I did kind of chuckle when he said that. And I'm like, well, yeah, this could have been good information to get other people here, sir.
Well, it's like, well, I was backstage, it's like, shut up. But then you realize, oh, Michael Cole's part of all this. So, yeah, he actually was backstage. So, but yeah, but they've made, I mean, look, you've already got, now you have two challengers for the Intercontinental title right off the bat. Yes, Gable lost, but he's right back at it. And then you have Bronson
Oh.
Reed. So it's like already the Intercontinental picture has two people, which is more than usual. It's like everyone, with Gunther even, it was one at a time, one at a time. This has two people coming after him, which I hope there's no triple threat match. You know, it's like build a division around that title. That's fine. Because that wasn't always how it was in the 80s. Like, Randy Savage, Piper, not Piper. Well, yeah, Piper was in there.
Well, I mean, you were talking about how big the rosters were, I think, before we hit record. And yeah, like, if they write things well enough, that is a sustainable thing to do, is to just have people that are in that orbit, for the Intercontinental title.
Which is how it used to be. That used to be
Yeah.
the that was it was the workhorse title, and it was also the stepping stone title. They've even pointed out how many people won the Intercontinental title that have gone on to win the WWE title or World Championship. So there's nothing wrong with that being a step up, because it's true. You've got your mid-card title, if you want to put it that way, which has got more gravitas now. So good. And, you know, Drew's not going for that. CM Punk's not going for that. Seth won't be going for it. Jey Uso, I guess he's beyond that now. If he's already going after the world title. So.
It'll be interesting to see if he falls back to that at some juncture.
I think. You know, it's main event Jey Uso is more than just a name now. I do, it does feel like they're positioning him to be like a real main event player. And I think there's gonna be obvious shenanigans, Saturday, so he won't win. He shouldn't win already, but
oh, right.
You know, but
Yeah, I'm either. Well, yeah, Damian Priest said he did not want any shenanigans. I feel like that's always when shenanigans happen.
Yes. But yeah, so like it's a good way to build. Gunther's clearly done with the NXT. He's done with that one too. He's done with the Intercontinental title, as he should be. But Ludwig Kaiser could be there. And please, can we please change his name? Like it's a new dawn for him. It's no longer Ludwig Kaiser. Just give him his real name back. It was far better than this stupid name. I've gotten used to Gunther. I'll admit. But Marcel Barthaud is so much better. It just is.
I don't know. It's kind of a mouthful.
Well, yeah. But, you know.
And it doesn't sound very German.
It really doesn't. What the hell was Giovanni Vinci's name? I'm drawing a total blank.
I kind of laughed, and I'm like, hold on, SmackDown actually drafted this guy?
It didn't, alright, I don't like thinking this way, but it's like, didn't that seem like a Hey Future Endeavor kind of beatdown? Like, yeah.
That was part of the reason why I was surprised. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, that sounded like, that looked like, you know, fatality.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you, you know, how do you come back from that? Like, that was one where I don't know how you come back from that. You know, like, they haven't shown any faith in him as a singles guy to this point. You know, if it was one of those, he was getting kicked out because, you know, the crowd liked him too much or something like that. I could see that, but.
With the head?
Yeah, did not expect him to still be in the company.
Yeah, now watch, he'll be in some movie or something. Like, oh, well, never mind. But, yeah, I got off on that side project, but, like, I guess, like, even, like, an Ilya Dragunov, that's the title he needs to be going for. You know, just stuff like that. And Bron Breakker, same thing. Hey, he can be a badass and cut through everybody else. And that's good. Because there was another guy that did the same thing called the Ultimate Warrior. So, you know.
Yeah, he was kind of popular.
Yeah, running through people and, well, shit. More, you know, a closer one would be Goldberg, obviously. So.
Yep, that would definitely be more recent past.
Yeah.
Although, so, oof, boy. That number is getting higher.
Yeah. Funny how that works, huh?
Yep.
Every breath, those numbers go up. So, but Raw, like, it's also odd that they do this stuff before a, well, now a premium live event. Like,
uh-oh.
Why wouldn't we just do this afterwards? And, you know, that could be the big kicker after the event's over. Hey, you just saw this. You just saw this. Now it's time for the new era to kick off officially. And we're going to shake things up or whatever. But, like, the week before, okay. And I just love how people job on the way out still. Like, why? Like,
because they're going to the other brand.
It's just so dumb. Nia Jax comes out. I'm on SmackDown. You're losing. Like, okay.
Well, that you can't tell a Liv Morgan revenge story by having her immediately lose her next match.
Oh, you're right. Well, didn't Nia Jax lose a Noam Dar last week?
I believe so, yeah, but there were some shenanigans in there.
But he still lost, like, okay.
Yeah.
Sol Roca blew through Blair Davenport.
Well, like, yeah.
Valkyra, okay, lost in that triple threat. Dragunov, you know, obviously didn't win. So it's like
Yep. You
it's
got a job before leaving the territory, man.
same damn company. It's just so dumb. So
Yeah, until your retirement, you got a job out of the territory.
yeah, it always cracks me up seeing that stuff though. But I mean, I know we didn't really talk too much about Raw, but like, what really happened that mattered
Oh, well, I mean,
outside the draft?
I am looking at least the second part of it. The CM Punk Drew McIntyre stuff was pretty hilarious.
All right, I really enjoyed CM Punk pointing out the fact that by the time McIntyre gets down there, he has 5 minutes and 46 seconds. I don't know why that made me laugh, but it sure did. And then I love the end of that skit of the end of that segment, because Drew just looks and goes, "I'm gonna kill you." You don't get that very often. Like, they don't use the word kill, so.
Yeah, just Drew looking disheveled and angry was just hilarious.
Well,
I mean, in no way. And I think that's another thing that maybe bears a little bit of mentioning, because I'm not sure that we've mentioned it on any of the podcasts, that I believe we have 100% confirmed that Drew McIntyre is re-signed with the WWE at this point. And, yeah, if anyone has watched TV, like, why would you give that up?
yes, and also. All right, so they don't have to give out details anymore. I don't know if they ever had to, but I think I'm not sure exactly who it was, so I'm not gonna say, but upwards of 4 million a year. Holy shit. I mean, if that's true, yeah. I'll remain at the top of the company and make that much money. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty sweet deal. And I don't have to wrestle that much, which is also something they're doing very well at disguising now. Guys aren't wrestling that much anymore.
They have cut back in that department, which I
No problem
mean,
there.
yeah, it's for the best. Like it's better for their body. And honestly, I don't know how many times we've talked about just needing segments to know the character.
Right.
I know Drew McIntyre's character way better now than I did even a couple months ago, honestly.
Yeah. And it's nice. Really, because it's also in a way protects their investment. All right, say this Drew stuff is real. It is $4 million a year. That's a hefty investment in somebody that you don't want to take the chance of being out. I don't know how much CM Punk's getting paid, but that's got to be sting. You know? We just, like, he comes back, we give him all this money, and now he can't wrestle. You know? For whatever reason, it's just the truth.
But yeah, also though, the man has been doing his work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's gotten a lot of TV time. Like, there's not a whole lot of people that are injured that get as much TV time as CM Punk has had during this injury.
And Chris pointed that out, the difference between WWE and AEW, which I do want to talk about this for a little bit, was you're guaranteed to see some of these people. Even if it's backstage, if it's in the ring, or even if it's afterwards, you're going to see the people you went to Raw or SmackDown to see. So, like, CM Punk showing up, that was just a nice surprise, because he hasn't been around too much. So, and also, no arm brace, by the way. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I mean, it was on and off at WrestleMania.
He had it over his jacket, the big metal thing.
Okay.
Because remember, that's what he hit Drew with.
Oh.
Yeah, but he's been wearing it, and then, I don't know the time frame of these things, but, and especially when you don't have to find your own doctor and rehab people, I guess it helps.
Oh my God.
So, I don't know. It's WWE's just humming along. We've got Backlash. I don't really expect too much out of Backlash this week or this Saturday. Outside of a good card. And then I'm gonna say Jacob Fatu showing up. But
I mean it. They tried to highlight it, but it did get lost in the shuffle a little bit.
yeah.
But hey, who cares? They are going to be in France for a pay-per-view, and it's probably going to be a packed house,
It's sold out, yeah.
and people are going to be going bananas for whatever happens.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm definitely calling Jacob Fatu shows up to help Solo and Tama in their match. And then possibly cost Jay his, but it's cross-brand, so it wouldn't make any sense. So, but I mean, with that whole thing with Jay and Damian Priest, they're making a big deal out of how their plans don't go aren't working out. And it's like, is this the time it like a plan finally works out? Because they follow Damian Priest's like commands or whatever. So, and
Yeah,
also,
I mean, he has made a point of saying, hey, we're not communicating here. Like, you guys keep on freelancing here. Like, we need to stop freelancing here. That's why it's not working out.
yeah, and also, why was Patrick Mahomes with Logan Paul? I know there's a Prime sponsorship there, but why is the good guy with the bad guy and then giving him Super Bowl? Like, it didn't make any sense. And then, like, Braun Strowman, the returning face, goes and threatens the hometown quarterback. Like, what? Yeah.
That was a little confusing of a situation.
Yeah, because I'm openly cheering for Strowman to ruin that nerd. So, I don't get. I just didn't get it. At all. So, but there. Yeah, but you're right, though. That was like. That's actually, to me, that's like a VKM. And then.
Well, like, I don't know how you do that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure if it'd be weird to say that Logan Paul made him show up. You know what I mean?
Didn't seem that way. I mean, especially the way they were talking about that poor kid during the parade, and the two guys, the one, I don't remember their names, but
Oh yeah, the lineman that brought him onto the bus.
yeah, and then I guess the other guy that was with him tackled one of the shooters, like that's what they said. So it's like, oh yeah, we got all this, and then boo Patrick Mahomes, like. Oh, okay. It's just odd decision, and that's like a Vince. I just screened Vincism. So, and then real quick before we go into AEW talk, Finn Balor re-signs with WWE. Has he said a word in 2.5 months? I mean, even Damian Priest was talking down to him. Like, just leave it alone, just follow my orders, and he's just like, okay. Like, I don't. I guess the money's good, but it's just a weird position I see him in.
I guess I was expecting something from him in the future here. With him and Damian Priest ended up having a problem. Like, I could see Damian Priest would work if he just had Dom and JD as his lackeys.
Yeah, it makes
If
sense. Yeah.
They wanted to go that route and go with babyface Finn Balor again. I was wondering if it might go that direction because of how much he was talking down to Finn. Finn has not talked as much, but
No.
he seems to be more than happy.
Yeah, wearing his oversized shirts, in Kango hats, like,
and still having more abs than I've had in my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we all got them. I selectively choose not to, you know, show off. Like I said, there's not much. Like, this is kind of a, you know, Finn Balor's got abs, WWE's got a PLE. It's supposed to rain Saturday, so pretty sweet. I'll probably watch it. So,
yeah, I'm gonna be out and about gallivanting with Mr. Phillips. So, probably will not be watching this one live. But yeah, I mean, I do plan to consume that at some juncture. Honestly, worst case scenario, Peacock is now on my phone and it will be watched.
Oh, I always forget about that.
That route at some juncture. So, yeah, there is that. And I had forgotten before we started recording here. I did watch some AEW Collision. Never got around to Rampage, even though it aired directly thereafter, and I in fact have it recorded.
I watched some of Rampage. I missed Collision. Or did I see Collision? Did Collision have Swerve and Claudio?
Yes.
Okay, so I did see some of it.
That was the main event.
Okay, all right, yeah. So another one just thrown together. Like, why is the Blackpool Combat Club supposed to be these badasses, but they don't win? Like, okay.
Yeah, that, I mean, this is one where I'm like, they gave Claudio the ROH World Championship run just to be like, hey, he's been a world champion. He's in no better position in AEW than he was in WWE.
He talks less in AEW than he ever did in WWE. I didn't even think that was possible. But it is. It's such a bizarre thing, and like, the AEW's got no buzz about them unless it's negative. And like, that's gotta be a concern. Like, they tried, like, alright, one, Tony Khan wearing the neck brace, whatever. And then he goes and makes a fool of himself. Did you see the interview when he was talking about WWE?
I only saw little snippets of things. Like, I don't know what he said, but I'm not sure how you can feel great when in your quote-unquote home base, you only pull 2,500 people.
Yeah. Well, what...
Like, that's why I almost felt bad for Swerve. Doing that acceptance speech with some of it might just be the recording there still because it's an outdoor facility or semi-outdoor facility. Just sounded like a really, really tepid crowd for your new champ.
Yeah, because their product is cold. They got the ratings bump they wanted off of the CM Punk stuff, and it's just gone down since. And I know, like, wrestling was down this week because of, like, the NFL draft and the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. Fine. But that's not their excuse. Their ratings fluctuate between the same up and down of 30,000. There's no significant increase. Their sales clearly are going down. They showed that one shot, the entire, it was only empty like that when it was COVID. And you had the entire back upper decks totally empty. Well, it's not COVID anymore. People don't care about your product. And instead of concentrating on bumping your own product up and telling us, like, in interviews what's going on, you're calling WWE the Harvey Weinstein of wrestling.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, I'm not...
What does that even mean?
It wasn't prompted. Like, there was nothing. There was no joke. There was no conversation leading into this. He said that AEW is Pepsi, and you expect him to say WWE is Coke. And he goes, instead, he goes, and WWE is the Harvey Weinstein. Because, you know, he's talking about Vince McMahon and what goes on there. Okay, but all you're doing is drawing more negative attention to your product. It's like, shut the fuck up. Talk about yourself. No one else is. And, like, he actually came out today in another interview talking about how, like, them talking negatively about WWE is working out for them. And I want the fucking proof. I want receipts. I want your TV ratings. I want your YouTube. I mean, show, back up what you're saying.
Yeah, the crowds are not backing it up.
No. Your pay-per-views, you get decent crowds.
Because, what, and they're going the whole way to, like, Vancouver, like they're doing Western Canada, I think, this week.
Is it Ottawa? Because that's where Omega's from.
Winnipeg.
Okay, it's Winnipeg, yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's Winnipeg and Vancouver are their next two shoot locations.
Yeah, and their Canadian run hadn't been that good.
No, Toronto was not great.
And that's with Edge there, or Adam Copeland, excuse me.
And Christian Cage.
Yeah, who hasn't been seen since.
Which two is, Toronto okay. guy.
Yeah.
I actually do not have a problem with that one.
Well, no, I mean, the way that match ended, he should be out for a while. He took a board with nails of the balls. So, you know, okay.
Yeah, that's acceptable to be out for a while.
Yeah, if they'd actually, like, talk about it. But no. It's funny because I guess they thought that they were going to big bump off of the Bucks attacking Tony Khan, and I think that's just relatively failed. We'll see this week, I guess. If the ratings go up, then all right, maybe they're on to something. If the week after it stays the same. But I mean, this week you have the hook of Omega being on. Okay. So, like, are the Bucks going to attack him? You know, just something. But
I mean, he'd be pretty dumb to get suckered into something if he knows he's already kicked out of the group.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like they need do they need to write him off? He just kind of disappeared anyways. He lost to Ospreay, right? And that's the last time we've seen him.
Yeah, but I mean, they did. They wrote him off, so, like, verbally on TV, so there's got to be something for that.
Yeah. But no, I don't understand the preoccupation with this company, and it's not just Tony Khan. I mean, you know, Tony Storm was saying veiled stuff about WWE wrestlers and, like, her promos, and it's like, I understand, like, her character's delusional. But what she's saying is about real stuff. And I'm like, you know, it's like, mind your own business or tend to your own house. So we can love the work Toni Storm's doing. But what's it translating to? It ain't asses in the seat. It's not eyes on the TV. So maybe her YouTube videos get good clicks. I don't know. It's like
that's one where, I mean, how do you not, like, the WWE? The only thing I can think of, and I know that AEW hasn't been around long enough, nor do I think they put enough stuff on YouTube. Quite honestly, at least compared to the WWE.
Yeah, well, this is different than machines.
The WWE just got that, what, 1 million or 1 billion download or something like that, or 1 billion view.
Yeah.
Thing that only like three other companies have gotten from YouTube. And, you know, it's one of those, I guess I don't check their YouTube stuff, but also, like, YouTube knows to send me those notifications from the WWE. You know, like, why wouldn't AEW be on there? I watch it enough. Like, if they had something going up on YouTube that frequently, like, I should at least be getting the shorts
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's all algorithm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely does not penetrate as deeply as. And I guess that's the other thing that's just like, you guys aren't even. Even though they're the second biggest promotion in the world, I think that's what we established on the last show.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair.
And they're still not close to the WWE. Yeah. And, like, I think that's the problem that I get. Like, I'm like, come on, guys. Like, just. And again, if you just talk about camera shots, like the WWE right now, I mean, not just the innovation, but, you know, they're like, hey, look at this gigantic crowd. Like, we're going to show the whole arena. Mm-hmm. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Like, we're not having to crop shots. Like, look at this. It's just like, hey, we got 81,000 or whatever it was for All In. Fantastic. We're just selling out after selling out after selling out.
Yeah.
On these live shows, guys. Like, so just have fun. Oh, and you know what? We're going to go sell out in France, and we're going to sell out in Germany, and we're going to sell out in Saudi Arabia, and we're going to sell out in... And it's just like, come on. Like,
yeah.
That's the weirdest thing. It's just like, Tony Khan almost talks like they're, like, almost there. And it's just like, nah, dog, you're not even that close. Like...
Yeah.
You're just not.
Well, what I was going to ask you, Tony Khan repeatedly says their competition is WWE. You don't hear WWE say their competition is AEW. You don't hear TNA say their competition is WWE or AEW. They just do their thing. New Japan, that's not our competition. It's like this weird obsession.
Oh.
Like, do you act, all right, do you think WWE is a competitor of AEW's?
No.
Yeah. Like, it's always like, mind your business. Like, we got our guys on the Today Show less than 24 hours after they were in the main event of WrestleMania. And you have Swerve on Collision 6 days later after wrestling a nothing match for no reason.
Oh, wrestling a... I forgot when I was tweeting about that. I thought that it was two championship matches. Tony Schiavone gently reminded me that the one against Kyle Fletcher was just like a proving ground match or some dumb shenanigans like
championship
that.
Championship eliminator match.
Oh, that's right. Championship eliminator match.
So, yeah.
And then he had a championship match. So he had a pointless... The champion had a pointless match, and then he had an open challenge. And I was just in tears when they're... The very next segment is Adam Copeland and him talking about his Cope Open. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, you guys just literally show that you're doing the same concept for both guys.
Yeah.
Here.
And it's just, my thing is, this isn't WCW. This isn't TNA trying to be on Mondays. Remember that? For a few weeks?
Oh.
This is get your shit in order. You're like, I guess they're gonna get a good TV deal. Who knows? Because their overseas ones on Ryzen is dead. They didn't even get into year two of their TV deal for overseas stuff. They took it off. They're like, nah, this isn't getting us anywhere. So Ryzen took it off. So they lost penetration in markets overseas. So let's say you were talking about how we just established their number two. I'm like, I don't know. So,
Well, I mean,
but.
there was that, and then was it DAZN dropped them from the pay-per-view coverage? Was it?
No, that's who I'm talking about, actually. That was like overseas for all sorts of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because I think they were the carrier for international TV, maybe? For
Okay.
some of it.
So it's more than just I
Yeah.
then maybe I just didn't quite understand how much they were. I thought it was just for pay-per-views.
Yeah. I mean, it's just such an embarrassing thing to where you had a hot product because, one, it certainly helped. WWE was not good. And then you had the buzz, you had all these people that were coming over that people hadn't seen before, and you had a different product. It was, I had my problems with it, but it was still good. And then it just became an influx of WWE guys, poor booking, shoddy stories, and no interest. And then, COVID did not help, but
I think one thing that isn't helping me right now is the improvement in the WWE camera work.
don't forget the audio.
Oh my God. They use that clip again of Serena Deeb, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
They didn't clean it up?
No!
Oof.
It still
See?
sounded like she was doing the promo from the goddamn beach.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why are you playing this clip
Yeah.
again? Like, I don't care. Like, they cropped it down to a short thing. Have Tony Schiavone say, Serena Deeb challenged Tony Storm to a match. Let's go backstage to, I forget who the interviewer's name is. To talk to Serena Deeb now. Do not ever play anything from
Yeah.
that section of show.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that's what
But
I'm but that's
anyway.
what I'm getting at. Mind your business. Like, literally, mind your business. That shouldn't, you're right, that should never make air.
No. Yeah. Pay attention to your own product. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, that. There are multiple ways to get around that. And yeah, you don't need to re-air that. But I guess the one thing that I was trying to get to really first before going off that tangent about the camera work stuff, they talked about wanting to differentiate themselves from the WWE. And I think this is honestly where the influx of WWE people is maybe hurting AEW more than anywhere else. It's the front office people. They're bringing over all these front office people, and like they didn't do anything innovative with their directing before Well, yeah, when they had time during COVID, during that era, like they could have been doing maybe some of these shots that WWE is trying to work on right now.
Yeah.
These walk and talk promos, like, and again, like it's not like rewriting history or anything what WWE's doing, but like AEW didn't do anything even that innovative in their product to go, hey, this is what's setting us apart from WWE. Like, I feel like it's still just kind of standard how the WWE would run TV.
Yeah. And but like that's the small-minded nature of this company. Like, I again, and not to rehash it, but they spent how many segments in a row on one TV show talking about another promotion? Advertising for another promotion. Like, and then I'm still dumbfounded. Now I have to go back and watch Collision because I got to see this Serena Deeb thing. Like, nothing on that show is almost usable. And it was funny because Raw, there was like some audio glitches. And I'm like, oh God, not again.
Yeah, but, I'm like, is that my speaker or is that? I was like, nah, like we can't have this back to back shows here, can we?
God, could you imagine that? Well, at least we would have SmackDown was okay, so we wouldn't have back to back, but still,
that is true.
But yeah, but it's just, I don't know. Like even Cody today said something about that. I'm never gonna root for that place. I'm always gonna root for them. Because it's better if they're around. And it would be nice if the people in AEW understood that too. Hey, the way this is going, we aren't going to be around long.
And I guess that's the other point to maybe talk about, like, although there's still just a whole lot of speculation, is everyone thinking that the heat is on, Time Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah, Time Warner Discovery is what that's called right now.
Okay. So, I couldn't remember what the... Is there a Brothers in there? Or they take the...
It used to be Warner. Warner Brothers is a studio. Time Warner is a company. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Warner Brothers Studio is the movie division.
Oh, okay.
So... And television. Yeah.
Everyone's like, hey, TK, maybe you need to get your... I guess things are getting shaken up a little bit in that department, and people are wondering how that's going to turn out for AEW. Like, they are one no-contract with TNT TBS away from definitely not being number two.
Yeah, and that's what they need to worry about.
Yeah.
But I guess Meltzer was reporting that TNT and that may lose the NBA, which is a significant devalue of that network. But then AEW, if they're on there, would be a significant asset on a lower platform. Like, you're still not competition.
Not great when you're on a quote unquote lower network. They're in a really weird spot right now.
Yeah. I mean, like Bryan Danielson apparently has the power to fine people for their tweets, right? Okay. How about you make the same rules for live promos? If you mention something for WWE, it's fine. Just, you're not allowed to talk about them. You're not allowed to talk about anyway. You don't talk about TNA. They're a wrestling company. And I know they're much smaller than you. But they are competition because they want your wrestlers. And they want our dollars. Like, I chose TNA over AEW. So... it's like, come on, my God. Like, come on. You promised us something different. You didn't deliver. You promised us something good. It was for a while. It's not now. And even though I said I enjoyed the show a little bit more than I usually did last week,
yeah,
I don't have that hope for this week. But maybe that's why I like it. So just get your act together and stop paying attention to everybody else. Jesus.
I mean, that sounds like a good wrap-up note. Yep. To me.
All right, not something I plan on talking about, but worked out.
Bell time beer on your end, sir.
No, I have to go to the heart doctor tomorrow, and I'll prove I have one.
Well, this past weekend, I found myself in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'll tell you what, there was a brewery in Washington, D.C. that we went to, Aslan Beer Company, that we really, really liked, but we also had like a 3 mile walk back to the train station, and I didn't feel like carrying beer that far that day. So I did not get any. They have a branch in Pittsburgh, though. The wife and I stopped there this past weekend, and I got their Hankering for Hands sour ale with lemon, raspberry, blackberry, basil, vanilla, and milk sugar. I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of sour and a whole lot of sour fruit in here. And the milk sugar, I'm not quite sure if it's there or not. It is a very light touch, a very, very sour beer, though very tasty. Like, I just don't think that I'm tasting a whole lot of milk sugar in this one. Very, very good beer company, though. It should one find themselves in, I believe they have places in Alexandria, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or Pittsburgh. Feel free to stop in at Aslan Beer Company. They make some good beer. So that is the suggestion from at DeFrango11. He is at Granny Mays. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.